I speak to the name of one true living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. First, look around and make sure you know who is missing. I know it's July 4th weekend. People do travel. My expectations, and make sure that you tell your friends and neighbors and family that aren't here. I expect a signed bulletin from wherever they attended church today. We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men were created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among those are life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. So it began, Independence Day. From that day forward until now, you can worship as you see fit. I can proclaim the gospel without government interference. We are free because our forefathers and foremothers had this singular idea. We are children of God, capable of making our own decisions. So on this day, God bless America. God bless each and every one of you that served to keep America safe and our freedoms secured. As you know, on my mother's side of the family are Cajuns, and I know that it's kind of fun. Lisa, Father Stephen, and others were from Louisiana, but in fact, Miss Lisa and I were at LSU at the same time, which is kind of interesting. She and I are going to have to talk and figure out what connection that means. But being from Louisiana on mother's side, that means you are going to get to hear Boudreaux and Thibodeau stories. It's just a part of it. One day, a car was crossing the Great Bridge, going to Bro Bridge from Baton Rouge. State trooper pulled it over. Car was going too fast. State trooper knocked on the window. The window rolled down, and there was a fully dressed clown. State trooper said, "What's going on here?" And he looked over, and he pulled out his gun. He said, "Whoa, there is a sword, there's a knife, and a hatchet next to you." The clown said, man, don't do anything. I'm in the Ringling and Barnum and Bailey Circus." He goes, "I don't believe it." He goes, "No, I can prove it. Stepped out of the car, took the hatchet, the sword, and the knife, and started juggling. Pretty soon, he's juggling behind his back, underneath his leg, and about that time, here comes Boudreaux. He coming down in his car, and he looked. He shook his head, he rolled down his window, and he threw out his bottle of Jacques Daniel. He said, "Man, I am not going to have myself another sip as long as I live." Clarice, sitting next to him, his wife, says, "Praise God, but why now? Why are you giving up?" He said, "You see that DUI test they're giving these days?" You know, we often see, but we don't perceive. That's the point of the gospel. I wanted to thank Sharon. I told her I wanted to preach three times in a row so that you get a sense of who I am and where I think we need to be headed. But also, this is the wonderful discourse, and all three Sundays are tied together. And so I have put together what I think is what the gospel is really trying to get to for all of us. And that is that coping with life's disappointments is what makes us disciples of the kingdom. And so that's the theme for these three Sundays. 4 years ago, I had the opportunity with my bishop to travel to Mexico City and to stay with the presiding bishop of Mexico and to be on that seminary campus, the Right Reverend, most reverend actually, Carlos Touché Porter. In addition to interfacing with the students at the seminary, the most reverend took us out to a place that was the worst slum I'd ever been in. Think of the worst place in Waco. Think of it. That is posh compared to where we are. There was a church called St. Mark's that was being constructed. The roof had not yet been fully built. Some of the walls were not there yet. No electricity, no running water. It had a little compound gate around it. The slums. Nobody could afford to give money to that church, but it was there for those that were poor. And so we were on the grounds and looking around, and this haggard man came into the gates, obviously a street person, tattered clothes, in need of a shave, sores from malnutrition, and I suspect rat bites from sleeping on the streets. He came up to me. He knew who I was. And he handed me bottled water. my broken Spanish, his broken English. What he was saying was, the water in these slums will make you sick. Take this water. It is fresh. The presiding bishop said, it's all the man has. That's his meal. Bottle of water. I told him I couldn't really take it. I wasn't thirsty. And suddenly he kissed my hand and he said, welcome to my church. He was a disciple. He believed. He wanted me to feel welcome. The kingdom had come near. He needed to make a priest from North America feel welcome. This was a man of the street, but he was a child of God on Sunday. No better, no worse than anyone else. And he gave thanks. He gave thanks for what he had. Tattered clothes and all. The presiding bishop spoke of poverty. He said that all of these communicants were members of our church, and they deserved a place to worship. That was his vision, a place of hope. There's an email that went around a few years ago, and I saw it making its round again a couple of weeks ago. And it's about the devil having a garage sale. And so he puts out tables: envy, pride, lust, avarice, gluttony. Come and take as much as you want. And the line went around a city block. People wanted to taste avarice, gluttony. He was selling it. But over in the corner behind those tables, something was glimmering. And so a man walked around the tables into the garage and said, hey, devil, can I buy this? The devil said, get away. Get away from that. I'll never sell it. It's my most valuable possession. What is it? It's disappointment. It's the one weapon I have against a broken humanity. You will never get it. Now, fast forward in the gospel. Let's take where we are in this discourse of Jesus. He's about to send them out for the first time. He's giving them instructions. Thomas Long, the bandy professor at Chancellor University in Atlanta of homiletics, says that Matthew is writing this as a first aid manual for the emerging church. It started with 12, and by the time Matthew is writing, 500,000 people have become followers of Jesus Christ. But they didn't know what that meant. They didn't know how to deal with disappointment. So Matthew, instead of writing volumes, takes five short discourses to deal with what's going on in the life of the world at that time. And one of these is how to deal with disappointment. You'll be disappointed as disciples. And what does he say? He says in this instruction manual, some of you will be held in high esteem. Prophets, the righteous man. But some of you will be the mikroi. And I know you got up this morning and you said, Father Ray is going to be preaching on Matthew, so let me get it out and read it in the original Greek. I know you did that. Show of hands, how many? I figure there's a lot of you. In the original Greek, that word, mikroi, means more than little ones. It means the lowliest of the low. Even if you give them a cup of water, you are my disciple, because they will become my disciples too. And it's easy to be a righteous man and a prophet because they go into their own community. They're held in high esteem. But what about these people from the slums that have nothing but a bottle of water? This morning, many of you here are prophets, righteous people, and maybe we have a mixture of the mikrois with us. Jesus, in his church, says grace abounds for everyone, but disappointment is what stops us. Think of the last time you were disappointed in life when the ship was rocking and tossing. Did you take out your fire hose and spray your anger against your family, your wife, your children, your friends at work? Did you open it up? Did you take out a match and take a little bit of disappointment and throw it in and make it huge? That's what we do as human beings. We want to complain. We want to control those things we cannot control. Human nature. Jesus knows it. And he says we should not do it. Now, this is a Rayism. You're going to hear me say it quite often. Disappointment should not bring us to a stop. It should bring us to a drop on our knees. Disappointment shouldn't bring us to a stop. It should bring us to a drop on our knees. Where we ask God for the strength to carry on. Where we ask God for wisdom to move forward. Where we ask God to take the burden that has been given to us. We don't stop, we drop and pray. And we come to St. Paul's because there are sages here. There are righteous people. There are prophets that can love us, comfort us, and get us through these tough, disappointing times. If you don't share with your Christian community here in these pews, you're going to open the fire hose and anger is going to go everywhere. That's one of the reasons that we exist here, brothers and sisters in Christ. We exist to help one another, lift one another, love one another. And even the smallest of us has value. Because I got news for you. As you sit here this morning, you're equal. Equal. All of you. The man in Mexico that had nothing. I think it's strange that as I look back on my life, I've had many meals with presiding bishops. Presiding Bishop Michael Curry and I, just a few months ago, drove around Salt Lake City, just talking. I have been with archbishops by myself and had conversations, studied under Michael Ramsey. I have sat 5 feet from the Pope at communion. But the one face, the one moment in time I recall vividly is a man in Mexico City who had nothing but tattered clothes, sores, and a smile. And he said, "Welcome to my church. Have a cool glass of water." Welcoming radically someone in his midst, that is someone I'll never forget. I think on that day, transcendent from over 2,000 years ago, was one of the original 12 in person. Walked up to me, and I met him in Mexico. And before I forget, let me tell you what his name was. I know his name. His name was Disciple. That was his name. And he coped with life's disappointments because the kingdom was hand and he had a church. And he loved his church. And the church is where he was no stranger but loved. And that is something I want to challenge you and me with. If he can welcome radically the stranger with all that he has, where does that leave us? Couldn't we do it